Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never change anything.
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
But you say, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again, this time on the near side, for another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
What's going on, everybody? So I need all my black and white folks to listen up. We need to stop all this fight. I don't know why people keep bringing up slavery, but since y'all want to bring it up, I got something to say, and I don't think a lot of people are going to like what I have to say. But before I jump into that, because when I jump into this topic, I might piss a lot of people off, okay? So you don't have to listen if you don't want to. But I'm proud to announce that this episode is sponsored by Noble Gold. Now, Noble Gold can help you bag your money with real silver and gold. Anybody can do that. Black people, white people, because guess what? We are all equal in this country. Noble Gold can help you protect your money, okay, with real silver and gold. So if you are interested, and I advise people to do it because this country is going a little crazy right now, call the Noble Gold team at 877-646-5347 or click the link in this video description. Now let's jump into this slavery talk, okay? Nobody living today owned a slave, and nobody living today is a slave. So I don't know what all this talk about is we were slaves, because Terrence K. Williams has never been a slave. So what you mean we were slaves? First of all, I am in my 20s. I am not 400 years old. I was never a slave, and I never will be a slave, okay? So people need to stop all of this foolishness. I don't know why we keep bringing up slavery. That was long time ago, okay? If you was born, I said this before. If you was born in the 90s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, you were not a slave. Slavery has been over for a long time. And nobody living today owned a slave. And let me clear this up too. every white person's ancestor did not own a slave. Not every white person owned a slave back then. So I don't know why y'all want white people to apologize for slavery when they never owned a slave, okay? So let's go ahead and stop all that. But don't say we were slaves. Leave my name out of it, okay? Because Terrence is not a slave. First of all, Terrence has never picked cotton. And to be honest with you, I got on a cotton shirt and it's itching right now. I barely like cotton as it is. So I was never a slave. And white people, okay, listen here. Stop apologizing for slavery. You were not a slave owner, okay? And some of y'all don't even know if your ancestors owned slaves. So don't be apologizing for slavery. Don't apologize for something you didn't do. Simple as that. And people want to say, well, Terrence, it's because white people need to apologize for their privilege. First of all white people don't have privilege. I know, excuse my language, okay? I'm about to say, listen, excuse my language, okay? I know some broke-ass white people that are not privileged, okay? And then y'all say they are slave owners. I know some white people that can't even pay off their car. So how they own a slave? And how's that privilege? That's what I want to know. Black and white people have the same struggles, okay? There are black people struggling. There are white people struggling. So, and black people have the same opportunity as white people. Yes, they do. And if they don't, how in the world did we have a black president? Explain that. Explain how we had... If America is so racist, and if white privilege is just the biggest problem in America, how in the world did we have a black president? Exactly. Shut up. Black people are very successful in this country, okay? And white people, the majority of the white people in this country want to see black people succeed. Seriously. White people love helping people, black people, you know? So don't act like every single white person is against black people, because that's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. And I know that from experience, okay? Because I was once working at a hospital when I was in high school, and a white lady was asking me how was I getting to school, and I told her my car was messed up. And guess what she did? I didn't ask her to buy me no car. She bought me a car. Now, how in the hell did she oppress me by buying me a car? Exactly. A lot of people that's claiming they are oppressed don't want to work, to be honest with you. Get up off your butt and get a job. Seriously. And then how you claim you oppressed, but you want to turn down a job at Mickey D's because you don't want to flip burgers? Come on now. How is that oppressed? You just don't want no job. Because if you really wanted to work, you would do anything to work. So don't act like you can't get a job in this country, okay? Now, right now, the COVID-19 stuff is going on. But before that, come on now, let's be real. Let's be real. Let's not act oppressed. Because I know white people that have black bosses. So how is that? I'm trying to figure out what y'all talking about, okay? I'm trying to figure that out. I know white people that work for black people. Look at Oprah. Look at all these rich NBA players. Look at all these rich black actors and actresses and doctors and lawyers. Black people are making a whole lot of money in this country. Come on now. Now, people need to stop acting like every white person is rich, because every white person is not rich at all. Please believe me. It's a lot of white folks out there that still owe some money on some loans, okay? So let's not act like everybody is doing better, because we all have this. A lot of us are struggling the same no matter what color we are, okay? Yes, we got people that are doing better than other people. Hell, Oprah Winfrey is black, and she got more money than half of the white people in this country. And you mean to tell me
Oprah is oppressed. Oprah's not a slave. I'm not a slave. So quit talking about we were slaves. People that's working right now at Walmart talking about they slaves. I never heard of a slave getting a paycheck. Okay? I never heard of a slave getting paid twice a week. I never heard of a slave driving a car. I never heard of a slave calling in to work. People talking about they slaves. We were slaves. We slaves. How you a slave and you calling in to work? I never heard of a slave calling in. You can't call in to work as a slave. Come on now. I'm just sick of this bull crap, y'all. Let's cut out this racial divide. We can't. Listen, y'all, we can't start a race war, okay? We all need to unite, okay? We are all equal in God's eyes at the end of the day. Nobody is better than the other person. Nobody is better than anybody else, okay? In God's eyes, we are all equal. Why are we taking this country backwards? Why are we doing that? Let's keep going forward. Don't let these politicians take us backwards, y'all. Martin Luther King and a lot of other people fought hard so we can be equal in this country, and we are now. So let's not go backwards. Let's not go backwards, please. But God bless everybody, and thank y'all for tuning in.
What is the solution to all of this?
The solution is very simple. We follow a declaration of liberation, declaring every African-American descendant of slavery a political prisoner here in the United States, and that was affected by the Portuguese slave trade. And then after that, the United States has a choice. Either A, carve us a piece of land out here, we'll take Texas and let us do our own thing, or don't stop us when we exit this body here and go somewhere where they will give us our own land to build our own nation.
What is your name and what is the...
I'm the official Grandmaster Jay. I created the NFA.
For all the white folks listening, we come to put you motherfuckers on notice. We tired of talking
to you.
Tired of working with you. We tired of all that shit. Y'all want to keep doing shit to us? From now on, whatever you do to us, we're going to do to you.
Right.
Then maybe y'all want to talk about this shit. We don't threaten. We don't scare. Because we don't care. We have nothing left to lose. Nothing. Black power.
Black power.
Black people.
Black people.
Black man.
Black man.
Black woman.
Black woman.
Black child.
Black child.
Black nation.
Black nation.
Just wow. Like I said before, this is straight up racist. They are no better. They are no different than the KKK. No different. All this black power, Black Panther stuff, is straight up racist. And you can't tell me no different. It's straight up ignorant. 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 That's what it is. And then they want Texas? You not getting Texas? Are y'all crazy? Texas is part of the United States of America. You are not getting Texas. And I don't want to live in a country with all black people. I want to live in a country where white people, black people, Hispanics, Asians, Indians, everybody. I don't want to be segregated. That's not what black people really want. That's what these racist black people want. But not me, not other black people. Come on now. Let's be real. Martin Luther King fought. Martin Luther King marched. So we could live amongst other people of different colors. And y'all trying to bring back segregation? Get that mess out of here. You want the white man to give you Texas. No, you know what you need to do? You need to put your money together and buy some land that is for sale. Nobody's giving you anything. These people have lost their everlasting mind. Marching around with guns and trying to threaten white people, trying to scare and trying to intimidate white people. Why don't y'all go to Chicago and protect the people that are being gunned down every weekend? Why don't y'all go to Detroit? Why don't y'all go to these communities to, why don't y'all go to the black communities where gun violence is a problem and help out the innocent people there that are being attacked by gang members? Why don't y'all go protect those people if black lives really matter? If black lives really matter, go protect those people in Chicago instead of walking around in Georgia acting like the white man is trying to get you, when more black people die by the hands of other black people. Get that mess out of here. Shut that crap down. Don't nobody want to hear that mess. This is ridiculous. These people are trying to bring back segregation. They are trying to start a race war. They are no better, no different than the KKK. They are the black KKK. And I can't get down with them. They act like the white man is just out here to harm black people, when majority of white people in this country want the best for black people. Majority of white people in this country want to see black people succeed. But how can black people succeed if other black people are killing other black people? Stop black on black crime if you really care about Black Lives Matter.
Well, gosh dang it, thank you, NFAC. What does that stand for? I forgot. Oh, that's right, not fit, actually chubby. Some of you protesters finally said what your end goal is to all this crap.
We file a declaration of liberation, declaring every African-American descendant of slavery a political prisoner here in the United States, and that was affected by the Portuguese slave trade. And then after that, the United States has a choice. Either A, carve us a piece of land out here, we'll take Texas, and let us do our own thing.
What is your name and what is the...
I'm the official Grandmaster Jay. I created the NFAC.
All right.
Just how we'll tell you this, we're all ex-military. We're all very disciplined. We're all expert shooters. We don't want to talk no more.
Wow. Well, I'm going to address all that. First of all, that group of clowns that are walking down the street are not ex-military. Come on.
Black power.
I mean, look at them. Half of them are looking at the ground, and half of them look like they just got out of the donut shop. Oh, you know, I've never seen a bird like that before. Hey, Jared, look at that. Wow. Wow. That's beautiful. It's just good to see something like that at a time like this. Because Grandmaster Jay is just so hard on us. Ugh. I mean, you could have at least had them count off or sing Kumbaya or something. If you're going to try to scare people, at least try to come up with a little bit of a scarier name. I did a little bit of Taekwondo as a kid, and the black belt there, his name was Grandmaster Jay. Had a super hot wife, but you see, the problem is that I don't think you own a dojo or have a super hot wife, so it doesn't really work. So you have your Boy Scouts march up to Stone Mountain Park. Some of your guys are pouring water all over their heads. Holy shit, man. We really gotta walk anymore? It's fucking hot. It's fucking too fucking hot out here, man. And then you say this.
I don't see no white militia. So to the Boogie Boys, the 3%ers, and all the rest of you scared ass rednecks, we here. Where the fuck you at? We in your house.
You know why the KKK wasn't up there to greet you, right? It's because Willard's wife from the movie Django made the mess again.
Damn, I can't see fucking shit out of this thing.
We ready or what?
Hold on, I'm fucking with my Oh, shit.
Who made this goddamn shit?
Willard's wife.
Look. Nobody's saying they don't appreciate what Jenny did.
Well, if all I had to do was cut a hole in a bag, I could have cut it better than this.
I knew you'd like that. Come on. Okay, all jokes aside. Here's the problem, Jay. If you're going to try to intimidate people, at least have a realistic set of demands. No, we aren't scared of your latchkey mob, your marchers that work at Dunkin' Donuts on the side, or your jammed 22s. I mean, for God's sakes, you dressed up all these people in leotards so all y'all match like a bunch of private school girls, but you couldn't even help this guy to put his scope on the right way?
All right, how do I work this shit? That's some sort of trigger on it.
Oh, that just comes right out. Oh, okay. Just keep going until it goes off.
Oh, Grandmaster Jay, I don't know how to use this.
My lord, what kind of operation are you running? Yeah, if all of y'all are good shooters, then I'm the fairy godmother with a boob job. So let me address your demands because I'm an American and currently Donald Trump is busy with shit that matters, like some of your friends trying to take down the statue of the guy who freed y'all. First off, you say you don't want to dance or sing, but you stop a white guy in a minivan and tell him you're his worst nightmare. Well, shit, all he must dream of is teddy bears and fat bottom girls if you think you're his worst nightmare.
Real Black Militia, if you're his worst nightmare, go ahead. Real Black Militia, bro. I'm crushed. I like the song.
Yeah, you really put the fear of God into him, Jay. He waved you off like you were trying to accept donations for Black Lives Matter. By the way, props to whoever that guy was, just for seeing straight through your BS. As for your other banter, if you want the USA to carve out a piece of land for you and all y'all, you already have one. Right here. Not too many white people to complain about there. I'll buy you your plane ticket and a Slurpee for the road. As far as you saying we'll take Texas,
carve us a piece of land out here, we'll take Texas.
As if the rest of what you said isn't a big enough joke already. You just won the award for the biggest joke of 2020. Congratulations, man. I'm dead serious, man. That is quite an accomplishment, considering how big of a joke 2020 has been because of the coronavirus, Black Lives Matter, people actually thinking that Jeffrey Epstein actually killed himself, Colin Kaepernick saying that 4th of July is a celebration of white supremacy, and the fact that I can't even get my hair cut today without wearing what looks like a condom for my mouth.
Who are we?
Black Militia!
Sir, Grandmaster Jay?
Yeah, my wife is white.
No, you know she's white. Our kids play together.
Not right now, man. We'll talk later.
Well, for God's sakes, I was just checking. God, you know, fuck this.
So let me hit you with some facts about Texas, just so you're clear on what you're getting into if you're seriously thinking about trying to take it. If the police doesn't stop you, and that's a big if. We have one of the largest military bases in the nation here. And if somehow you get past them, we have 1.46 million veterans that fought for the flag that you're currently shitting on. You know, if you're actually going to come out here, why don't you start in San Antonio where Matt Bess and all the Black Rifle Coffee Company people are? See how you do up against them before you try to take the rest of Texas on. And what about the true patriots here in Texas that know what it means to be a real American? I'll be standing there with probably half of Texas, of all races, because I can promise you, including me, that we are willing to die fighting before we hand this state over to you, or any state for that matter. So let me give you a little piece of advice. Crawl back into your little cave where you came from, because you don't want any of this. I promise.
John Wayne. When the storm rolls in, I'm gonna be ready, savvy. On my hip in case you get heavy. Like a cowboy kicking down doors and taking names. John Wayne.
Hey everybody, so Black Lives Matter, they protesting churches now. Not police brutality.
Churches.
Hey, I'm starting to get it now. Black Lives Matter means only Black Lives Matter. Nobody else.
Nobody's life matters.
Yeah. I get it. It just means Black Lives Matter.
How did we miss it? It's right there in the slogan.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's in plain English. Why didn't we get that? It means just Black Lives Matter.
Now I understand why everybody's so pissed off when I say all lives matter. Because Black Lives Matter don't care about nobody else's life. They just care about Black Lives Matter.
Well, there's a caveat to that. They only care about the black lives that are lost to a white police officer.
Yeah.
What's wrong with y'all?
I mean, seriously.
Really?
So they go to this church up in New York. Check this out.
Why are you bringing a baby into a church that drives the car? You are pissing it off.
This is no house of God.
Good morning.
Save those babies.
Save those
babies. Save those babies.
Save those babies.
I mean, come on. Just think here for a second. Don't you think that chant, this protest, would be much more appropriate in front of a Planned Parenthood? Maybe the inner cities of Chicago, Detroit, Baltimore? Yeah. Why in front of a Baptist church? Hey, I mean, do y'all even think? Do you even have a brain? Do you know how to read? Do you know how to count past five?
Man, can
Jesus
they, can
Christ.
They count past three?
One,
three.
Hey, how did they even get there? Did George Soros drop you fools off at the church?
He said, just to get out and to do what you do.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure y'all don't know how to read a map. You don't even know what a map means.
Look here.
Did y'all know up in New York? Tell you what, this happened in Troy, New York, right?
Yeah.
2 hours down the road, y'all could have went to New York City.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's more black babies being aborted in New York City than actually born?
By the thousands.
By the thousands. Let me say it again. By the thousands.
You got to slow it down.
Oh, by the thousands. But y'all in front of a church, a Baptist church, where black and white come together and praise God. Y'all were going to save those babies there. Look, you can't actually, I mean, you can, but if you protest a church, that makes you a bigot.
Yeah.
We have freedom of religion.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say, for example, I go protest in front of a gay bar because I'm not into homosexuality and I don't like gay people. Right?
Homosexuality.
Right? Let's say I do that. That makes me a bigot.
Yeah.
Y'all preaching equality and tolerance, but y'all a bunch of bigots. Do y'all know what equality and tolerance means?
They don't even know what Black Lives Matter mean.
I mean,
seriously.
You're protesting someone's lifestyle, their religion. That makes you a bigot.
They're not doing any harm to black folks.
That's one of the places y'all need to go. Y'all need to go to church.
Y'all
need to read the Bible.
Y'all need to repent.
Well, actually, the members of the church, they spoke out against the riots.
Yeah. These people are there protesting this church because they're offended because people from this church said they were against the riots that were happening here
not,
in America.
Yeah, not the peaceful protest.
Yeah.
The riots. There is a difference between riots and protesting.
Yeah. Like, there's a difference between immigration
and illegal immigration. Immigration, which is legal, then you have illegal immigration. Totally two different things, okay?
He's like a dude off South Park. What's that dude's name? Mr. Hand?
Hi, students, today.
And wasn't he was a transgender in one of the episodes, but anyway, I digress. Look here, let's get back to the topic at hand. In the middle of their protest, they decide they want to go in the church. Talking about, oh, we can't go in the church?
What y'all preach?
They ain't trying to let the devil in now.
Yeah.
Y'all the devil. Y'all evil. Yeah, I'm going to break it down for you. This Black Lives Matter movement,
it's all
an excuse for people to misbehave. These people are so upset, so unhappy in their own life, they want to spread their unhappiness to everybody else's life because they don't have the courage, they don't have the balls to look in the mirror and see who the real problem is.
Yeah.
The real problem is you.
Yeah.
Republicans, conservatives, everybody on the right, we're not spreading hate in this country.
Yeah.
Everything that you see on the TV, all these white people getting attacked for just simply being white, for wearing MAGA hats. Everybody is tearing down these statues.
Yeah.
Everybody's burning down these buildings.
Yeah.
Killing people. These people are all on the left.
Yeah.
They're all progressives. They're all liberals.
Yeah. Y'all's lives are not going the way y'all want it to go. Y'all got a lot of pain in y'all's life, so y'all want everybody else to feel this pain.
Yeah. Life is not easy. It's not going to come easy.
Yeah.
Stop listening to these people that's victimizing you.
Yeah.
You have the power in your own hands. You just need to look in the mirror and do something about it.
That's all you got to do, man.
Nah, you don't have to go to people's churches and protest them at their place of worship. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, this 2020, this has been a crazy year. I'm just waiting for the damn aliens to show up.
Yeah. You know who they're going to take out first, right? I think all the aliens are going to be conservative. They're going to start zapping all these damn progressives, all these liberals on the street. I can't wait for the aliens to get here. I hope them damn aliens in that movie, War of the Worlds, I want to get zapped like that. I don't take me out of here.
Yeah, because this year has been crazy, man.
This world, this country is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's all coming from one side. And it's all fueled by identity politics. It's all coming from the left. They're actually destroying this country.
Yeah.
That's why when the election come around, Trump 2020.
Yeah.
Go to officialharshtwins.com and pick you out a patriotic t-shirt today. Hell, I'm even giving you 20% off. Just type in discount code Chinese virus. We call it Chinese because it's from China. We making t-shirts great again. Yeah.
Mama told me to come. Mama. And today's podcast is titled, Should Texas Be Given as Reparations? Now, we played one audio earlier in the podcast where there's this group that has suggested that black militia group that has suggested that they be given Texas, I guess as a form of reparations where black people can go and do their own thing. So we're going to take a Roland Martin look at that. And the reason why I played Mama Told Me Not to Come because this year is a crazy party. In any event, let me play this and then we'll get to the phone lines.
You want to support Roland Martin Unfiltered? Be sure to join our Bring the Funk fan club. Every dollar that you give to us supports our daily digital show. There's only one daily digital show out here that keeps it black and keep it real. It's Roland Martin Unfiltered. Support the Roland Martin Unfiltered daily digital show by going to RolandMartinUnfiltered.com. You can make this possible in Atlanta over the weekend. A local armed black militia made headlines on the 4th of July by challenging the KKK during a march from the city of Stone Mountain to Stone Mountain Park. Of course, that's where, of course, there is this huge mural, if you will, etched into stone there of these Confederates. The militia calls itself the Not Fucking Around Coalition. Watch this. Now, the leader said the march was the result of threats made against blacks by members of the KKK and other white supremacy groups. Grandmaster Jay, founder of the group, joins me now on Roland Martin Unfiltered. Grandmaster Jay, how you doing?
Roland, good to be here. How are you?
Doing great. First and foremost, how many folks did you have out there?
We had a total of 1,500 that were in the formation, and then we had a lot of folks that were unable to carry weapons but still were in uniform that numbered about another 150. And then, of course, you had a volume of spectators that wanted to trail along to see what was going to happen. They numbered at about another 150.
So you, how long did it take for you to coordinate this? And was it also meant to let folks know, not just in Atlanta but around the country, that there are African Americans today, in many ways, who were like the deacons of the defense in the 1960s, who protected black communities from the KKK?
I would answer that in a twofold answer. First, it had a twofold purpose. If you remember, with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia, those were our members that showed up armed, the armed citizens you heard about. That was our first a foray into this matter that has gotten completely out of control with violence happening at the hands of, I hate to say it, white Americans against what appears to be predominantly black Americans, not saying other people don't get shot, but for the racial piece to be added in there on top of everything else that we've been going through with the quarantine, the pandemic and so forth, loss of jobs, and of course the tension being risen in the country, that we had reached a point that even though we had gone through all of that, there was a remnant of us that's been in place for quite some time. We're the older guys. We're the mature guys. We're your vets. We're your folks who are responsible gun owners. We're the individuals that, you know, we remember the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now here in the 20s, we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. We know the law. We're law-abiding gun owners, so we understand the Constitution. And, of course, we all believe in the Second Amendment of the Constitution and the First Amendment. So the first show of force was pretty much just to let folks know that this is not the way that we want to see things progress. But if they do, we're going to have to take Malcolm X's words and defend ourselves against these continued attacks. So we decided to do two things. The first thing was to exercise our constitutional right to bear arms in accordance with the law and, of course, to peacefully assemble. And then at the same time, send what we felt was a message to the heart of what we feel is probably the driving engine behind a lot of what is now coming to light. The FBI report that said that there would be an insurgence of white supremacists and those folks into law enforcement, into the military, has begun to bear fruit. We're seeing that in the increased numbers of police-involved shootings. We're also starting to see certain behaviors that are not so much related to the police, but are related to the Jim Crow era and related to the era of lynching. A spate of lynchings across the country that no one seems to want to explain, like all of a sudden black men became experts on how to tie nooses and jump off of trees all of a sudden, when the history that we have within our culture is that hanging is the last thing that a black man is going to think about doing, not taking anything away from suicide rates, which we studied. But in this particular instance, given the atmosphere that we were seeing, with the resurgence of what appears to be very evident white militia that the police are unwilling to even so much as detain as they do black folks, with the rise in the protests that happened after George Floyd, and then again the increased presence of what we could only deem as agitators, dressed like police but heavily armed, we thought it would be in our best interest to send a message to the heart of what we believe is the driving engine behind that, the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. What we found out when we dealt with the McMichaels and the, Mr. Bryan down in Brunswick is that they were all members of the same Klan Lodge, which told us, spoke volumes. And when we found out that the most of the folks in the town were okay with that, we know about the Deep South. Well, in this particular instance, Stone Mountain represents the birthplace or the rebirth place of the Ku Klux Klan. So we decided to do something that had never been done before, and that was to peacefully assemble a formation, not a mob, not a bunch of protesters, not a demonstration, but to call a formation of our black militia, which is what we are, and to actually go up to the mountain and make a statement that we wanted to make under the first under the First Amendment to the Constitution, and then leave. That was the intention. In the process of us planning this, here comes the threat. And this threat was communicated by major media. It was communicated by the White House, Department of Justice. So we took it at face value, even though we hadn't seen anything of some of these other threats. You were not going to continue to threaten the black race. It was not going to happen. And it was time for us to show folks that, you know, we can defend ourselves. There's been a lot of misinformation out there where folks are trying to paint us as a terrorist group, or that we're out to attack folks. And, you know, no, that's not the purpose. The purpose was to send the message. The message was sent very well, and we also demonstrated that we could organize ourselves in such a fashion that no one got hurt. There were no incidences of anyone accidentally killing themselves. There was no property damage. There were some exchanges of words between some of the folks who were made to leave the park. Folks don't understand that the law enforcement evacuated the park when we came, and they closed the park for us to avoid any conflict. So it was a very peaceful event. As a matter of fact, it was a history-making event because it happened simultaneously with another march that we had in Phoenix, Arizona, at the exact same time. This was a message to all of the white militia and to all of the folks who continue to believe that you can treat black folks any particular type of way, and that we will not stand up as U.S. citizens and arm ourselves per the Constitution.
When you are on that particular point there, I mean, we have seen all of these different white militia groups come out mad protesting. They don't have they don't want to wear masks, things along those lines, and storming state capitals. What I've said to people, that when I see this video, the actions of these black folks totally different than what I've seen for some of these white protesters in Michigan and Wisconsin. I mean,
absolutely.
And but people all say, oh my God, because again, we know how America is. We always say it. America freaks the hell out when black folks with guns show up in public.
Well, you have to understand something, Roland. If you've read the book Brainwashed by Tom Burrell, it talks a lot about...
Oh, yeah. I actually interviewed Tom Burrell, so know him well.
Great book. He actually talks about a lot of the behaviors that have been ingrained into certain cultures so that automatically, by default, we automatically assume something to be wrong, even if it's not against the law. And one of the things that he talks about in that book is the fact that African Americans have been socialized to believe that the presence of guns is an evil thing. And that's why the image of the black man being the evil crime marauding across the, you know, rape, robbing, and pillaging, as if this is the birth of a new nation, has been ingrained on both sides of the fence. However, when white folks decide they want to pick up guns and run up on state houses and threaten the police and nothing happens, black folks see that and go, well, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And as you all know, it's no fun when the rabbit has the gun. So to be honest with you, we, again, are not a mob, and we're not talking about something that we feel about. We're looking at a situation that is deteriorating, and we feel we have to defend ourselves. Our policing models are broken. Remote policing does not work. We feel there's a need for us to get back to community policing. We feel there's a need for us to start protecting our own communities again under the laws that are established in the land, and also the educating of our own people. not just gun clubs, but the actual ability that a gun is necessary for you to have on your person legally in this apartheid-like environment that we live in the United States.
Well, and the reality is, which I've said to people, that if you choose not to, you don't have to. Look, I fired a gun one time at the FBI Academy. It was a submachine gun. I was a grossly overrated experience. So I was like, yo, I'll go back to playing golf. But if somebody, I mean, that's just me. And so my family has never had one in our household. That's just me. I don't need to have one. My brother, he's gone out hunting with his son and his daughter. Great. And again, but the thing though is we also understand the history. When those Black Panthers rolled up in the state capitol in Sacramento, then white legislators freaked the hell out and immediately moved against that. And in fact, if you also take it even further, to even go back, the creation of the NRA and creation. I mean, bottom line is white folks in this country have always had a response to Black resistance by grabbing guns. And
well, let me throw something in there, Roland. Here's the deal. There's two things that we have to address before we can go any further. The first thing is that the double standard, you know, the hypocrisy of it all. White militia marches, nobody says anything. A couple of guys get locked up in Virginia for impersonating police officers with twisty ties to throw somebody in a truck and go lynch him. Nobody says anything. Black folks assemble to peacefully march to a notoriously controversial landmark. May say a few words under the First Amendment rights. And all of a sudden, I mean, I've seen the headlines around the world, everything from anti-Semitic, which we're not, to we're out to attack white folks, to we're trying to take Texas. Texas is already geared up for an invasion. We heard they're getting ready. People are telling us to come on down, let's duke it out. And we're like, that's not what we said.
Well, but here's the deal, though. For the folks who don't understand in Texas, the new Black Panther Party, look, I covered those guys in Dallas. And I remember being there. People like, oh my God, these black people with guns.
No.
Follow me here. What I'm saying is, I'm born and raised there. I was covering those guys in Dallas. People were freaking out, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Black folks walking around with weapons, because I mean, I was there when Khalid Muhammad was with them. They went to the James Byrd when they went there, and they had their guns, and people were freaking out. And I was like, yo, the white folks over there got their guns. Open carry state. Open. It doesn't say open carry for white people. It says open carry.
Open carry, exactly. Now, here's the second part, and this is the part where I've been waiting to say this to you. I want to thank you because you are the first person in black news media who saw fit to have a conversation with us about a historic event that has happened that has been ignored by mainstream media. It has been ignored especially by black media. And believe it or not, most folks are hearing one twisted version or another. So folks were wondering when were you guys going to show up. And I wanted to thank you, Roland, because someone said, you know, Roland wants to have you come on. And I'm like, what, you mean Roland Martin? Someone finally spoke up. Roland, I have to tell you that I have newfound respect for you after the comedy show you put on Monique's page, Monique Presley's page. I thought that was hilarious. I didn't know you could be so funny. But now you have my newfound respect in journalism again, and I want to thank you for being the first black news media outlet of major proportions to actually have the In Fact come on, discuss what we were doing, why we were doing it, and to speak from the perspective of the black citizen.
Because I have there are people who are commenting on Periscope. I see them on Facebook and YouTube as well. And so one of the things that I saw one particular comment the folks wanted to get from you is that we've seen the shootings that have taken place in Atlanta, the 8-year-old girl being killed as well. And one of the folks have said, should there also be this presence in protecting African-Americans in cases like that? What is your comment to that?
You know, it's kind of ironic that they asked that question, because once we completed the march on Stone Mountain and we were done and we had been escorted out of the park, we actually went down to the Wendy's. Where Rashard Brooks was killed, and we met with the young men that were out there guarding the place, and they asked us for pointers, and one of the guys even said when we got there, what took you guys so long to get here? And we walked around, and they showed us the place, they showed us the stores, and we told them, you guys want to get some training, you guys want to, you know, if you want to do this, you got to do it right, and everything was great. And then we left to escort Rashard Brooks' sister down to Centennial Park to a reparations rally. She asked us to be her security. And while we were down there, you know, again, it was a great time. And then we left. We're smart enough not to hang around any town after sunset. We're not that stupid. So we were long gone. We're not from Georgia. Some of us were, but we all didn't know that we should disappear. And then to hear what happened later, the shooting and so forth, was distressing us because it was right where we was, and we kind of felt like, at first we thought it was, you know, someone was trying to be retaliatory because we were there, because the young men did tell us that the Ku Klux Klan had come by and shot up the place a couple of nights before. But then again, I can tell you now that the state of things in Atlanta at that time, there was lawlessness not just in that area, it was throughout the city. You know, we saw a decreased police presence, and we saw a lot of folks who were taking advantage of that. So the hearing of that shooting distressed us. But what probably incensed me even more was the fact that there was not a structure like us in place that was already doing community policing. Because now that we've got a photograph and a videotape of a young man, that's obviously not even qualified to be in the NFAC. We are an old folks organization. There are no young kids, per se, in our organization. Now that we've got a video of what this young man looks like, and we know there are three or four other suspects involved, we, too, have gone public to demand that that individual be turned over by the community so that they can be dealt with, because that is inexcusable. And, yes, we do believe that is another justification for us to have our own community policing as opposed to remote policing, because those folks know who's in their neighborhood. So I do support that, and that is one of the tenets of the NFAC.
And you're speaking about the shooting death of Sikoria Turner. Folks, go to my iPad. This is the photo that authorities released. They are looking to question this individual in that particular shooting. Of course, we also have there were several young black kids who were killed in Chicago over the weekend as well. Last question for you, and I've got people I've seen, I'm reading comments from people who literally are commenting right now on Facebook. To the people who normally watch it on YouTube channel, we're having some issues there. It's buffering, so my apologies there. So if you got a problem with our YouTube channel, go to our Facebook page or our Periscope page, because we're streaming on all three. So Grandmaster Jay, the question to you is, folks are saying, do you have chapters in other cities? And if so, is there a central location where people can go to get more information? They also want to know about starting chapters in their own place as well under your group's banner. They want to know, where do they get information?
Absolutely. Anyone who is there, there are two answers. Anyone who's interested in becoming a member of NFACT, you can go to info@blacknfac.com. I'll say it again, info@blacknfac.com, and give us your contact information. There is a vetting process, and some of those, they have to do with the ability to own guns and attain a carry concealed. So you know your own background, so you know, act accordingly. The other, if you want information on the group itself, you can either come directly to me, myself, and through our portal on Instagram. That's my official Instagram account. That's the official Grandmaster Jay on Instagram for the time being. Instagram is censoring us very heavily these days, as is Facebook, so we're looking at moving to other platforms. I am here on YouTube, but my YouTube may become the new place, but for right now, we are controlling the flow of information, Roland. We're controlling it because we learned our lessons from COINTELPRO. We learned our lessons from Operation Black Messiah. We've learned our lessons, so we're not as openly with our information as some organizations are. We are a militia. So we have to protect that information, so we control the input of whatever that comes in. Additionally, anyone who's curious about chapters, there are chapters around the country. We're still birthing chapters. As a matter of fact, the young man in Louisiana that they had the run-in last week, him and I have talked several times about them becoming the Louisiana arm of the NFAC. If you already have a militia-type organization in your city, feel free to reach out to us, and then we can have a conversation. And then we can talk about whether or not we append that, because we are a coalition, which means that we work along with different elements. However, our core group itself is pretty large. So if you want to join the NFAC directly, that's what you saw in Stone Mountain. Those were all NFAC. Then you please feel free to get in touch with us. There is going to be, and I'll end with this, role. We're going to do a recruiting tour where I am going to come to certain cities. And if you already have your chapter ready to go, I'll have my team with me. We'll inspect your folks, will make sure everybody's up to snuff and check documentation, and then we'll swear you in. And you are then officially a member of this of our particular organization. What happened in Stone Mountain also is we swore in all of those people. They had come from many different places. This was their final step. The 2.5-mile road march up and down hills in the hot sun with all the quarantine food you ate was your final test to see if you could make it into the NFAC. But that's all I have, and I thank you for having me. And I would hope that everyone realizes that we're setting an example of how you should respond in the ongoing face of aggression against the black community. Thank you again, Roland.
I appreciate it. And again, for the folks who are out there, I unfortunately I do not have it with me, but it is on my bookshelf at home. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Just give me a second. I want to. So for the folks who again who don't understand history, this actually Lance Hill is the author of a book. Go ahead and show this. The Deacons for Defense, Armed Resistance, and the Civil Rights Movement. And so you need to understand that particular book. And I'm going to pull up another book. Just give me a second. For folks who don't know, I actually interviewed him. He was one of the leaders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Charles Cobb. And Charles Cobb also wrote a book. Give me one second. And again, remember last week we were discussing this. Greg, Dr. Greg Carr showed you a particular book as well. That dealt with the issue of the history of African Americans and gun rights. Charles Cobb's book. I'm looking for the cover, but I think it was called "This Nonviolent Stuff Will Get You Killed." And he was actually talking about again the history of gun rights during the Black Freedom Movement. Grandmaster Jay, we certainly appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Martin, thank you.
All right, folks, that's not Roland Martin Unfiltered video. It's just one moment.
Today's podcast is titled, Should Texas Be Given as Reparations? Now, I don't have any problem with a black militia group, not at all. But his credibility went with me when he stated, give us Texas, I guess as a form of reparations. Texas is 270,000 square miles. 270 square miles, that's the size of Texas. And if you convert that to acres, that's 172,800,000 acres. Now, there's about maybe 43 million black folks, so that's at least an acre of land for every black person. That's a football field, which is plenty. And then you would still have 129 million acres of land left over. And basically, people are free to, I mean, you can go online now and purchase land, which people do around the clock. I'm coming up with another cookie cutter. I'm going to play this audio before we go to the phone lines of a 13-year-old who I want you to listen to him because, I mean, him versus Grandmaster Jay. This 13-year-old, and he's a young black man, 13 years old, that's made $105,000. And he's not asking for anything.
Hey, what's up, my friend? It's Marquell Russell here. And today I have the privilege and honor of having the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Christian the Truth Jones. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Great. How are you?
All is well, man. All is well, man. Excited to have you on, man. Excited to see you out here crushing it in the marketplace, helping so many people, man. So know you're busy, man. So we're just going to get right into it. So before we actually dive into all the results you're getting, how you got the results, all that good stuff, first off, we always like to start off with, why are you even doing this? I mean, obviously you're young. We'll talk about your age. How you're 13 now, right?
I'm 13.
Okay, cool. And I know you, so you've been an entrepreneur for a minute. What actually, why are you even doing this entrepreneurial stuff? But you could be doing so many other things.
I have really about three key reasons. Number one, I don't want to work a job. Number two is I want to be able to create generational wealth and financial freedom and be able to like I said, be able to be my own boss, manage my own time and not be strapped to somebody's job or have to worry about bringing in income and be able to rely on me and be able to learn how to not only master the skill of investing, but teach other people to do the same. So therefore creating financial freedom and generational wealth in my community.
I love it. So perfect. So so my first question is, before we actually get into the steps you've taken, we talked about why you're doing it. You broke down the three reasons. So my first question is, because I know before we even connected, you had already been, doing it. You had already been like speaking. You already was an author. You was already doing some amazing things before we even connected. What actually made you, because a lot of people, like, they're blown, even when they see your testimonies and so forth, a lot of people are like, they're like, that can't be real. They're making him read that. They're making him say that. There's no way that's real. And, like, the cool thing is, like, you're 13 now, but you actually start implementing the process that we taught you when you were 12. So my first question is, you are already having success as an entrepreneur, already doing your thing, already this young entrepreneurial phenom. What actually made you say, okay, I need this process to help me grow my business? What actually made you dive into it?
I remember, so I would say the biggest thing for me was, because I was able to make money through the speaking, the books, the stock market, but what I really wanted to do was create my own course and be able to sell it to people and think, well, have them sign up and pay for it, obviously. And I remember, I think I was about 9 or 10 years old when I first started making the course. I've updated it now, of course. But I remember as soon as I finished the course and I uploaded, I would just be like a millionaire in a minute. That didn't happen. So I decided to, I started looking up marketing strategies like anybody, trying to see what I can do in order to be able to grow my business and grow my course. But I tried implementing them, but none of them really worked. So then I remember, I think it was September of 2018 that we first connected or met in person. And then I didn't know what you did at the time, but then I decided to look you up and do some information on you. And I saw that you did marketing. I said, okay, cool. Maybe he can help me with my marketing. Mm-hmm. So I know I reached out back to you, I think a couple months later. So we did the payment. We did my target audience and people that can pay, or will put in the time and work in order to learn how to invest and just be overall successful as far as my marketing goes and be able to grow my course.
Got it. And in the cool, so like, that's so a great point. So my next question is, like, when you actually went from, because I know when we first connected, your offer was, I think you wanted to charge like $997 for it, but we talked about how you can do this as like a high ticket $3,000 plus offer. What actually made you say, hey, I definitely want to go high ticket versus the model you was doing at the time?
I would say the thing that made me want to go high ticket is because I realized what you were getting at when we were talking. Instead of trying to get a whole bunch of people for a low ticket and just try to do all that and just get a couple people for a high ticket, so therefore you don't have to reach out to more people, therefore spending more money on ads. You can get a set target audience that's willing to pay, willing to do the work, and get the results that you need in order to get the same type of people and attract the same type of people to your course. So just be able to set your own target audience and be able to find those people, those couple of people that are able to pay. Therefore, you don't have to get a whole bunch of people in order for them to pay. So let's say it would take me to get 5 clients to pay $1,000 to make $5,000. They make even more when I'm so you get less. It's a lot less work.
Totally makes sense. Simple math, right?
Yep.
Perfect. So let me ask you this. Obviously, because a lot of times people, like, here's a fascinating thing. A lot of people don't realize you even invest your own money. They're like, well, how does he come up with the money? People don't even realize that you invest your own money. Like, I tell people all the time, like, yeah, he's 12, he's 13 now, but he's definitely not your average 13-year-old. So don't think for a second like he's just talking to this dude. Is like, he's been here before for sure. So let's talk about, like, what are some things. So let's talk about, what are some things you've done so far? So since we've been working together, what are some things you've done differently in your business to really help you ramp things up and start getting a lot more clients and helping a lot more people?
So as far as the things I've done differently is I've started my own Facebook group. I've started helping people more and implementing what they're investing and becoming more hands-on than I initially was. I also started running my ads not only on Instagram but on Facebook. And I actually implemented a funnel, which I've never heard of prior to working with you.
Good stuff. Good. And here's the crazy thing. I remember when you first did your first webinar. It still trips me out to this day. And I know your mom had told me that you did the webinar, and you forgot to even share the slides at the beginning, but still made a $3,000 sale. Like, that really speaks to the power of just taking action. Stuff doesn't have to be perfect. You just got to get the ball rolling. So that's really, really powerful.
Thank you.
So let's talk about some results, man. So like, so as much as you're willing to share, I know you've been absolutely crushing it. So since you've been in the program, I know your program is 3,000 still now, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about results. Like, what kind of results you're willing to share in terms of what's happened in the business since you've been adopting this process? And it hasn't even been a year, nothing like this. It hasn't been a close. So what kind of results have you been experienced so far?
So as far as results, I've gotten well over, how many is it? About 30 to 35 high ticket clients over these past couple, 6 or 7 months. So I've gotten well over 30 people to pay for my full Truth Success Series, which is my $3,000 course.
Nice.
And I've also been able to get people not only for my stock course as well, and be able to market that pretty easily since it's a lot cheaper than that $3,000 price point. And I've also implemented another program, which is called memberships, where for all those people that already know how to trade, I show them or give them the same trade that I'm doing personally, and they're able to put into my Facebook group and to be able to see the same trades that I'm doing live, so they can make the same trade that I'm doing and make the same kind of money. So I've been implementing those, and I've done over this past couple of months, I would say, last time I checked, about 60 clients.
Nice. That's really good. What's the price point on that one?
So for the memberships, that's just $50 a month. Then the Stocks 101, that's $200. And then, of course, the 30 people for the 3,000.
Got it. So you had about 30, 35 people in the 3,000, and then you just got a ripple effect for the other ones who's not ready for that one yet.
Yes.
That's not bad, man. And then you just take, and then the cool thing is you taking that money and then investing it into ways to trust. That's crazy. That's the double whammy. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I'm super excited for you. So let me ask you this. So how you feel about the results you've gotten so far? How do you feel like that's going to impact the rest of your life in terms of your goals and what you're looking to accomplish going from here? Because I remember when you were 12, you was like, hey, my goal is to make six figures over the next year and so forth. So you're absolutely crushing it. So how do you feel like what you're doing now, how's it going to set you up for your next level goals?
I would say as far as my next level goals, it allows me to not only target the audience I need in order to be successful in my course, but also find the people that the more people I can help. And since I know who those type of people are, I can therefore help more people and branch out and be able to show people not only how to invest, but day trade where you can make money, whether the stock market goes up or down, especially in a time like this, when the markets are very volatile and I'll admit sometimes confusing. Cause I remember, you know how all the stores are starting to close and everything's just becoming, shut down. The market actually has been going up for the past about a week, even though everything is shutting down. And when it crashed a couple of weeks ago, because I remember even Microsoft, they were at 185, 190. Then they dropped all the way down by $40 to about 150, 160, 130 in about a week. So with things like this, you'd be able to make money when it crashes and you see those crash happening or it's about to happen. So you're making money when it goes down. And then when we bounce back, you're making money then. So it is just a matter of teaching this skill and be able to branch out to not only my family, but to my community. And I just want to help people.
I love it. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I'm about to learn this whole game from you, actually. So I'm definitely looking forward to learning too. So, and
I got you.
A good stuff. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to it. Let me ask you one question, man. So, like, a lot of times people, because, like, when we had a conversation, I said, man, look, if I were you, I would charge this instead of this. and you were like, all right, let's do it, and you did it. What advice, what's the shift that you had, or what's the advice you would give somebody else who's watching who may be having a challenge right now increasing their prices?
Now, I would say, as far as advice and increasing your prices, you have to realize what your value is and what skill you truly offer to your clients, and see how much that, and truly evaluate and see how much that's worth, because you can end up undercharging. It's not about being the most expensive or the cheapest person in your niche or in your market. It's just a matter of realizing and evaluating your service, what you bring to the table, and charging the same, well, a high ticket price for it, especially if you offer a high ticket service, which makes the most sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool, man. So I won't take up much more of your time. I know you're busy, man. You got things going on. So I won't take up a lot more of your time. So let me ask you this. If you were to say one thing to the audience about this whole process, what would you say?
Word with him. Like, if you want to set up your marketing and be able to get the clients you want almost pretty much whenever you want, he is the man to do it. And if you want somebody that's willing to stick with you and help you get through the process, I'm going to say that again, he is the man to do it. Even just his free content with his YouTube videos. Yes, I subscribe to your YouTube channel.
Appreciate you.
A lot of great content on there. A lot of great content. I suggest watching him. He's a great person. I've been working with him for about, this is going on 2 years now. He's a great person to work with, and just a really great coach.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. So if you're watching right now and you're a coach, you're a consultant, you're a service provider, you want to get more high-ticket clients whenever you want to get them, like Kristen told you, or if you're an author or you're a course creator and you don't have a high-ticket offer yet and you want to help creating one and getting clients for it, let's chat. You know, click on the link somewhere around this video, maybe below, maybe above. Click on that link. You'll go over. You can get some more details about how we can potentially work together. And then we'll just see what's what. You see, that's a call. We'll kind of see where you are, see where you're looking to go. And then based on that, we'll kind of map out a game plan to help you get there. And then you can decide, hey, you want us to help you do it, or you can take the game plan and go implement it on your own and get somebody else to do it. So no strings attached. Click the link around here. You can go see how to get more details from that. And that's it. Christian, man, thank you so much for your time, brother. And keep up the great work. Okay. And I'm extremely honored to be a part of this process with you. And I'm watching you continue to grow.
And there you have it.
Thank you.
Sure. A 13-year-old. His cookie cutter idea. Versus, well, like I said, there's nothing wrong with having a black militia. I prefer the 13-year-old's way. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines here. Question of the day is, should Texas be given as reparations?
L.A., what's going on, man?
Oh, just another day. Well, not just another one, because I'm working on this TAP project. So, anyway.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, there's over 40 African-American gun clubs in the country. And
yeah, which I think that's an excellent idea. Excellent thing.
The largest is the North American African American Gun Club. It has over 20,000 members. I think
okay.
I've shared those gun clubs with you before.
Yeah, and I was watching.
And some of the clubs are integrated. You have whites and blacks in the clubs.
Okay.
And you have about a couple, at least two, that's a female, the Foxy Mamas, and I can't think of the other ones. Name. But I like.
What about now? I think I was watching a video yesterday of a couple. Now, do you know how this is the statistic on the number of black-owned gun shops? Because I don't think there's not that many.
Well, it'd be a. I'm an applicant for a federal firearm license. To have a gun shop, you have to have a federal firearm license.
Okay.
And it depends on what class license you get. you can sell just about anything. You can sell machine guns, fully automatics, maybe even a bazooka, grenade launchers.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that people, well, you know, during the time of election when Hillary, the number of people that was getting those, in Obama too, when Obama was elected, the number of people getting those licenses went sky high.
What's the ballpark figure for a license?
It's not that much. Yeah, $150 may not be that much.
No, that's not much at all, yeah.
See, but with the federal firearm license, for instance, if somebody wanted to order a gun online, it would have to be sent to you, and then they come get it from you once you run the checks and so forth on them. And the same thing with some ammunition too. Well, no, that's a good thing to have. If you were to go to the ATF website and type in your location, it would tell you the number of FLs that's in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even have them set up at your house too. Like a room,
okay.
You have the guns in a safe and so on and so on and so on. And what they do, they'll come out and interview you. Somebody from the AFT will come out and interview you when your application is brought up. And also you have to make sure that you are in compliance with any local ordinances or regulations.
Okay.
Now, it don't give you the right to buy guns, per se. You can, but what you're doing with a federal firearm license is that you're providing a outlet for people to, if they want to make transfers between their gun to giving it to selling or conveying it on to somebody else, well, they can come to you and you do the paperwork so that that's done legally. And it's basically all you are, that sort of like an agent for the Department of Justice.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well. I remember seeing a movie about, or at least a documentary about, no, was it a movie? Or something about the Deacons of Defense several years ago. They got a YouTube video on it, too.
Well, yeah, you had the Deacons of Defense, and you've had many groups. Not many, but you've had groups like that before. No, I support people that open carry, because I'm a strong proponent of the Second Amendment. Blacks should open carry. You got a black manufacturer out over there in Illinois, Jonas Hagos. He's a veteran of the Gulf Wars. He's a Sudanese, and when he came back, he made his own, he didn't make it, but he configured his own AR-15 that he sells. And you can go on to Civilian Arms and you can see his weapons. And it's a nice, it's something based on what he carried when he was over in the Gulf War. And he stipulated like that. Now, this stuff about getting Texas, hey, like, why come in? People don't go up there to Taft, Oklahoma, and do what they talk about?
God, not only Taft, but even one step further, there's a bunch of ghost towns in every state that you can
basically. Yeah, Brooklyn is down there a ghost town.
Yeah, you go to these ghost towns or towns that are on the brink of becoming a ghost town. I mean, because the infrastructure is there. It's already put in place. It's been like some of the streets or neighborhoods have been overgrown by brush, but you know, just get the weed whacker out. But anyway, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. So that was an interesting video you had this morning. And the question, you know how many shootings on the total count is now? 816 shootings, 153 murdered in 55
days. In Chicago?
One city, yes. 816 shootings, 153 murdered in 55 days. This past weekend, you had 64 shootings, 11 deaths. Monday, yesterday, 13 shootings, 3 deaths. And today, Tuesday, it ain't over quite yet.
I like to, and they might have a graph or a map of where where those shootings took place.
Oh, they do. You can go on one of the newspapers, ABC Chicago, I believe it is, and also the Chicago Sun-Times. Chicago Sun-Times, they want you to subscribe to them.
Okay. Because how many of those take place? I'm assuming a lot of those take place on the north side of town.
Well, they it's up there around
what's
Woodline.
The rough part of Chicago? West side?
South side of Chicago, but they up there, I guess they call it the south side because if you say the lake is north, then the other side of North Shore Drive would be south. But I think you have that all throughout. You know, of course, there's some hot areas. But imagine that. Matter of fact, I think your odds of being shot is greater than winning the Illinois State Lottery in that town. I don't know what you would do with it. I think what's going to happen sooner or later, everybody that's going to be shot and dead or whatever. But a lot of people have moved out of that area, especially blacks, along Shore Drive, which overlooks the lake.
Yeah, blacks have been moving out of Chicago for a while now.
Yeah, they flee. And that's quietly kept. Nobody talks about that. I've heard programs on NPR how they be critical of whites fleeing. And I questioned them on that one time. I said, hey, blacks flee too. They're human beings. They're citizens. They're supposed to.
Yeah, and not only just because of the taxation up there in Illinois is...
Illinois taxation is high.
Yeah,
and their finances is pretty too. And the top three state officials, other than the governor, but beneath the governor, the next three are black. Your attorney, governor, your secretary of state, and I think your state prosecutor.
Okay.
Is black. Then you got Kim Fox, who's a prosecutor in Cook County. That blouched up the Jesse Smollett case.
No. Aren't they trying to bring that one back, the Smollett case?
I think they should. Because he started a bunch of crap.
Right.
Some
he
people could have got hurt. Yeah, that's like
I'm looking at this.
Saying that there's a black man that tried to kill her and her kid. Well,
oh,
he done the same
true.
Thing.
Yeah, they hemmed her up.
Yeah, he's done the same thing. The police could have been out there looking for some white suspect, and on altercation, somebody could have got killed because of
that.
That's
true. Anytime you send the police on a wild goose chase, that wild goose chase can end up going left, and then somebody innocent gets hurt. So I agree with it. They need to bring that one back.
But anyway, I won't see you tomorrow. Some guys on. Old friends and some others want me to come teach them stocks and options tomorrow morning at 7:30.
Well, that's a good time to teach. Oh,
like that guy.
Oh,
you're
in St. Louis, or Louisiana, right now.
I'm in St. Louis right now. You got these people on YouTube that you join on to them. You have to pay them $50 a month, or sometimes $200 a month. And really, what they're showing you, you can get offline or any trading platform before they let you trade. They take you through a process of education.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, there's people out there that some of them they do it for free. I do it for free. I always have.
Two questions. How long have you been trading stock?
I've been trading stock and stuff since the 90s.
Okay. And then when...
But I don't do it all the time. See, with my grandson.
Oh, okay.
I started working with him.
Some people do it daily. You do it daily, monthly, or whenever.
No, I do it daily. Yeah, I mean, okay. Now they have the expiration of options weekly, whereas it was monthly. But the expiration of an option that you sell against a stock or buy against a stock expires within a certain period of time. And in the usually they expire once a month, but now you can get options. They got it set up now where you got weeklies. You got June the 24th right now, July the 17th, which is 3 days from now. Those options will expire.
Well, somebody piqued my interest last week and listened to you, so I'm going to have to. Because you make the distinction between Forex and then stock trading.
Yeah, Forex is different. These guys, Butch and the other brother's name, and I came, yeah, I just with him yesterday. I had a problem recalling his name, Durant. They were doing option trading, not option, they were doing Forex trading. I taught them option trading a long time ago. Then they got involved with Forex trading. And it was a couple of guys that was doing that very well. One of them, they was out of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another guy out in California, Carl Martin. He designed a robot that, you know, when they talk to you and tell you that you've got computer trades going on, they cause a lot of havoc. And yeah, well, that's basically what that is. You can design. They design a robot that can set your stop losses, provide you with trailing stops, and also provide you with limits and set your buy points too. So nowadays, these trading platforms do everything, and they kind of, some of them are very hard and difficult to learn. But once you learn them, you can do just about. It's a heck of a tool. They've gotten better with predicting the future, but they can't predict the future. And that's what people try to do. You can get very close to predicting the future with some of your indicators, and you're moving averages, but you can't predict the future.
Well, if you like to, hopefully I can get in on one of those classes one day. On that note,
well, when
I
we start doing it on Saturday,
to...
I'll let you know.
And, okay, great.
I don't teach no liberals now. So, Beasley,
well,
don't you be trying
to
sneak in. Don't be sharing information with him, because we can tell as soon as one come in, because they got something peculiar about them.
Oh, okay.
And the alarm will
all
go
right,
off.
Then. Okay, Bianchi, thanks for calling in, and we're going to end it for
I'll
today,
see
people. All right, see you. Everyone have a good rest of the day.